time for This Week in Chicago History with Anna DeVlantis. Anna, I remember where I was October 22nd, 2016. What a night.
What a night. We all do. Where were you, Bob, by the way, the day, the night the Cubs won the pennant?
I was in the third, down the third base line, watching the game.
Well, tell me, just really quickly, tell me, were you panicked? Were you stressed? Were, is it intense? Do you remember the feeling you had? Because I went back and looked at the footage, and so many Cubs fans were beyond stress. Look, I mean, the whole game.
It was electric. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, that it was possible that if the Cubs won, they were going to go to the World Series.
I know. That, you know, so this is that magical anniversary for Cubs fans. 8 years ago yesterday, that is when the Cubs won the National League pennant at Wrigley against the Dodgers. Anyone there will never forget. Anyone who watched it or just was part of it or was a Cubs fan anywhere will never forget it. One of the most intense nights, one of the most jubilant nights we've ever had in our lifetimes as Cubs fans. It was a pinch me moment. And, you know, it's just interesting, though, when you go back and look, the people clenching their teeth, their rosary beads, you know, even until the final seconds, like, do you think this could slip away? It was in our heads, right? We just thought, is this really going to happen? And, of course, it did. Just a wonderful time when we really understood that, yes, the Cubs were going to the World Series. We pulled a clip to take us back then to that wonderful night, Game 6 of the NLCS. October 22nd, 2016.
Here they are with the most wins in the big leagues with 103 during the regular season, three outs away from the 2016 World Series. And the credit they got to be given is most teams build with power arms, but the Cubs went the other direction. Veteran arms, young, everyday players stay healthier that way, and you know what you're getting from your rotation, and that has proven to be a great blueprint so far. Left side. Out. The Cubs have won the pennant!
Joe Buck and John Smoltz. You know what was thrilling for me? I was sitting right next to Randy Hundley, so I got to share the moment with him. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And I remember the crowds just all over Wrigleyville and just the way this city felt. It was just a cool moment. Cool to remember how it felt.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have another one of those moments in our lifetime.
Sure.
We hope. Also, some Oprah history. It was 2006 for this.
Yeah, kind of hard to put us back into this place, but 2006, Bob, was when two of Chicago's most recognizable people, most famous faces, sat down together for the first time on national television. Barack Obama, then Senator Obama, and Oprah Winfrey got together, appearing on her show for the first time. He had just released Audacity of Hope, his book, and not an Oprah Book Club pick, by the way, but it was a best-selling book by that time. He was a rising political star on the national stage at this point, and one who happened to be from the same town as one Oprah Winfrey, or at least where she did her show. And Oprah would do something not long after that interview that she had never done before in, what was it, 15-plus years at that point. She made her first political endorsement and her first endorsement in a presidential race. Here they are, Oprah and Obama. We pulled a clip from the Oprah Winfrey Show this week, 2006.
If you think about this country, what's happened is typically that we've gone in spurts. Sometimes we make progress, the civil rights movement or abolition. And then sometimes we go into dark times. But the general trajectory is upward. Yeah, one of my favorite sayings, Martin Luther King once said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. You know, you can't always see it, but out on the horizon, it's moving in the direction.
Okay, so but you do not feel that these are dark times?
Well, I think they're troubling times, and I think they're troubling times for a couple of reasons. I think they're troubling times because we feel cynical about government.
Yeah.
We don't get a sense that the challenges that we're facing in terms of educating our kids to compete and making sure that everybody has health care and dealing with the energy problems that
we have. There's something I'd never heard this phrase before. You called it a coarsening of the culture.
Well, and you see it all the
time.
Our
belief in materialism and all of that.
And you see it. You see it in our youth.
Yeah.
And you see it at the highest reaches of government. A sense that it's more important to be powerful or to be wealthy than it is to do right.
Yeah, everybody knew he was going to run, didn't they?
Yeah, you knew at that point, gosh, he had already made his speech at the DNC and just electrified the audience. He was that guy. You're just sort of waiting. And 4 months later, Bob, he announced he was running for president, doing it on the at the site, if you may recall, of the old state capitol in Springfield, mm-hmm. the same location as Abraham Lincoln made his House Divided speech in 1858. But after that, there was no looking back.
Nope. All right, let's say happy birthday now to Mike Ditka.
85 years young, Mike Ditka, the coach, born October 18th, 1939, near Pittsburgh. Bob, his original name, family name, was Ditchko, by the way, spelled D-Y-C-Z-K-O. Maybe you can understand why the family changed it. No one could spell it. No one could pronounce it. So it became Ditka, and it's a name no Bears fan will ever forget. The 85-86 Bears are legendary, of course, the Super Bowl win. He was a player as well for the Bears, we all know. But Ditka became known for his larger-than-life personality. Bob, I don't know if he ever got media training back in those days, but I'm pretty sure he never listened to any of it if he did, because we know how Coach Ditka would act, you know, in press conferences, dealing with hecklers, all kinds of scenarios. We pulled a little montage here of some of his rants over the years.
Shut up.
What about the black
people? Here, have a quarter, make a phone call. Get your mouth shut. Get your mouth shut, jerk. See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
Hold up, turnover, son.
I'd rather talk to him.
Well, Mike just
went, sure. You got to make it controversial. And that's why you wore that ugly sweater today.
Next.
The quarterback sneak, you upset with the call there?
No. I called it.
What are you upset about then?
I've never been upset in my life.
What was the reason for Terry going into the game?
Joe, the reason was, Joe, that he was a great decoy, and it was a perfectly designed play by a great, great football coach. Don't you ever forget.
My favorite is I've never been upset in my life.
All right. I mean, just think about the practice. Just go back in the day and be there for a press conference or be a fly on the wall for those, Bob. I don't know. I can't even imagine. It's just beautiful.
Do we know how he's doing now at 85?
Yeah, you know, I just saw an interview in the Sun-Times. His wife, Diana Ditka, said, you know, yeah, she talked about his health. You know, he's got some health issues. Certainly at 85, he's struggling with a few things, but said that he's giving up cigars. Finally, she said, in no uncertain terms, that's over. He's done. So I guess he celebrated his birthday in some other way. He didn't have a cigar. We're pretty certain about that.
Send him a bubblegum cigar. More This Week in Chicago History coming up. This Week in Chicago History, let's go back to the Halloween classic and the Chicago connection. Anna?
Yeah, that music still gives me chills. I'm a fan of the Halloween series, and maybe many of your listeners are, but one of the creepiest and most successful slasher films of all time, Halloween, set records this week in 1978, Bob. It was actually set in Illinois, the fictional town of Haddonfield. Director John Carpenter said he wanted a quiet Midwestern town, like a safe bedroom community where kids ride their bikes everywhere and nothing really out of the ordinary happens, until slasher Michael Myers shows up and the escaped murderer from the asylum, you know, comes back with a vengeance on the town. So the movie Chirons, Bob, tell you the town is Haddonfield, Illinois, and clues throughout the many Halloween films place it somewhere near Interstate 55, roughly where Pontiac is. Of course, they were shot in other places. Kind of interesting that they set it there, and the reasons why. It was shot, though, in L.A. and other places. And if you look closely, Haddonfield, Illinois actually has some palm trees in it, apparently, and a couple California license plates and some mountains in the distance. And that's not Illinois, but, you know, still interesting for 13 movies. Almost all of them were set there. And the last one in 2022 returned there, even brought original director John Carpenter to come out of retirement to take part. We pulled a clip from John Carpenter.
Jason Blum came to me and said, this movie's going to be made. So would like you, John, to come aboard as a executive producer and just sort of shepherd it through and maybe do the music. He challenged me. He said, why don't you get off your lazy butt and make it good instead of sitting around complaining? So I said, okay. So it was about like that.
What was it like coming back and specifically working with Jamie?
Oh, Jamie's, she's just awesome. She'd matured as an actress, and she was just terrific. Jamie is truly a force of nature. She must be dealt with.
So is the franchise done now? Is it over finally, Hannah?
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis, who's talking about, who swears she is never doing another Halloween again. She's done. I don't know. But, you know, the serial killers, they always come back, Bob. You know, and you watch these movies. It, even when they say they're gone and they're dead and the grave and they're buried, it's somehow they come back. Halloween Ends was the last movie we saw 2 years ago. So we will see.
Yes, we will. Chicago-born Walt Disney made his final public appearance this week in 1966. Tell us about this.
I just love this one. This week, 1966, Bob, the creative genius known as Walt Disney, Chicago-born guy, made his final public appearance before he died. It was a televised appearance, an important one at a critical time for Disney himself. He had laid out plans for Disney World at this point, then known as the Florida Project. And Disneyland was already around, Disney World set to debut the following year. So much buzz around everything Disney was doing at this time. Sadly, never got to see his vision become reality, but still one of the most celebrated storytellers of the 20th century was filled with this childlike excitement this week in 1966 as he was sharing what was to come. And you can hear it in his voice. Here he is, Walt Disney, telling fans about the upcoming movies he was releasing that you didn't want to miss.
Good evening, friends. I'm sorry to have to welcome you to this invitational showing of Follow Me Boys in this way. I'd give anything to be there with you, but this seems to be one of those times I'm tied down here at the studio night and day. Let's get on with the business at hand, and that is Follow Me Boys. To us, this is a very special kind of motion picture, and one of which we're very proud. It has a fine cast, and you're about to meet a 15-year-old boy for whom I predict a great acting future. His name is Kurt Russell. I hope you enjoy the show, and incidentally, have a handkerchief handy. If you're like me, you're not only going to laugh a lot, but you're going to shed a few happy tears. So thanks for coming, and again, I'm sorry I can't be there with you personally for this occasion. But here now is Follow Me Boys.
Hmm. And he passed away a few weeks later, didn't he?
Just a few weeks. He sounds so strong there, Bob.
Yeah,
engaged. It's hard to believe that, like, just a couple days later, doctors discovered a tumor on his lungs. He was a chain smoker and had lung cancer, very, very advanced at that point. Literally died a few weeks later at the age of 65. Wasn't wrong about Kurt Russell, though, there, if you hear
him
talk about this young, strapping young actor and predicting that. It's just... just an incredible force, right? Just an incredible force in the creative world.
Thank you, Anna. We will do this again next Wednesday.
Sounds good, Bob.